And, I mean, another thing I talked to somebody about, I can't remember now, but that because for the first time, a lot of Gibraltarian women and men, they were separated. So the men were in Gibraltar, women were here. Do you think there were a lot of people had other relationships? Do you think marriage broke up and great people had affairs and everything?
I'll tell you an anecdote about this.
Yes, please do.
A woman was sick. She was Spanish. Her husband was in Gibraltar. She was sick, so she had to go to the doctor. And her brother-in-law went with her. So the doctor said, he got these symptoms and all that. So the doctor examined her and said, oh, there's no problem. She's pregnant. So the brother-in-law said, she cannot be pregnant. She said, what do you mean she can't be? She said, her husband is in Gibraltar. So that was a joke in those days.
So this was it did happen quite a lot then?
Of course it happened.
And what about, do you think, when people went back, the women went back, do you think the men had taken up with maybe somebody?
Well, I suppose if you state, I mean, the husband of the woman concerned was a very good friend of mine. He was about this much taller than me, a very, very good, handsome bloke. Very good footballer. And I saw him when I went back to Gibraltar, but we were very good friends. Never spoke a thing about that. Suppose he got somebody else and carried on his life.
So they separated?
Because in a case like that, it's the best thing to do. Either but you cut a throat and get in prison, or say, well, I don't want you, you're no good for me to be a wife of mine.
It's true.
It all depends.
The circumstances.
How you feel.
Yes, sure.
Temper.
Yes.
Surely it is an insult, a very big insult for a man. It's not the same as if a man has an affair. It's worse for the man to be cuckold, as they call it?
Yes.
Than the other way round. But there again.
That's interesting. But I mean, it was the circumstances, wasn't it, of the
it
war?
Happened.
Changed
it
so
happened.
Many people's
and
lives
and
like
many
that.
That wasn't public or something. But
yes.
They record that it in cases like a war. It's a natural thing. I don't think it's natural. You haven't been forced. If you have been raped, it's a different thing. If you want to do it, it's not the same. But still, everybody's life is their own.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about you and when you got married. And you told me you got married in Paddington, didn't you?
Yeah.
So tell me about that. What was that like?
Well, it was a very popular thing. It went on for nearly 2 weeks, the celebrations. Every day, came in, we had drinks and things like that. We were popular. I was I didn't want to interfere in politics or anything. But a couple of times I wrote a letter, because we were entitled to something and we didn't get it. And I was told that to go to the office of these people, whatever it was. And I told this lady, Mrs. Steele, she says, Mrs. Steele, if he wants to speak to me, let him come here. There's the same distance between here to there, or there to him. So one day I came back from work, and I had a message to someone see him. And this man was looking out the window when I went in. So I knocked, and Mrs. Steele came in, hello, Mr. Pops. And he turned around and said, is this him? He said. Mrs. Steele didn't say anything. She just looked at me. And as nobody replied, she looked at me. I said, Is this the one who going to settle things that the letter at Rome system? I said, he's got no manners at all.
No.
I said, I thought that for a civil servant, he should be at least more polite. And I said, Mrs. Still, if you'll excuse me, I'm tired. I've got to go and have some tea. I opened the door, went out and left him there. And when we went to Northern Ireland, the fellow there wasn't very nice, the manager there.
So you went to Northern Ireland after London, well, after you were married?
Yes.
Because you were waiting to go back to Gibraltar?
Well, my wife was expecting. And then my mother was there. Harald and grandmother were there, so I stayed with them.
And what was it like? Where was it? And what was it like in Ireland?
It was a camp with huts. And we put a committee in the men. We had about 480 people there. And I became the chairman of the committee. And I had to go to Stormont and had rows with the people there.
Why were you having rows?
Because the police in Northern Ireland, they carry their guns and all that. And I don't know how the Minister of Health, I think it was, he said, well, here, we shoot first and ask questions later. Mm. So I said, Hail Hitler! And walked out. And it was a row.
Was it quite difficult in Ireland?
Pardon?
Was it quite difficult in Ireland for people? It was more difficult than being in London, wasn't it?
Well, it was ridiculous to see a maid needed, must be Catholic or must be Protestant. I thought it was stupid.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about
that. I thought it was stupid. If you have a job, if you get a job to do whatever clerical, as long as you do it, I couldn't care less about your religion. But they took it like that. And I think that makes the trust system and things. And the manager there in Northern Ireland, oh, Christ, he made me mad. He was at the end with the pipe on his side. I called him all the names under the sun, and he never lost his smile in his face, which was what upset me more.
And what was the living conditions like?
Well, there were huts.
How many in a hut was it?
Well, it all depends.
On your family? Mm.
Well, we had mine. We had two. So as I was the chairman there, I got a sort of door pulled down. And I was here with my wife and the baby. We was one day in Downpatrick. Under the mantles of the moon in Downpatrick, that where St. Patrick landed, the patron saint of Northern Ireland.
Yes.
And we had like two rooms. Instead, we put like a sort of door, never asked permission or anything. But they did it for me there, the boys did it for me. And we had, well, we had plenty of food and everything. And we know we could go and buy out.
Were you in the middle of the countryside?
What?
Was it in the middle of the country?
Yes. About 30 miles from Belfast.
Ballymena, or was it called?
No, Ballymena was the other side.
Ah, which one was this?
We were in Crossgar, the Downpatrick side.
Right, okay. And how long were you there for?
A few months only.
Ah. Some people were there for longer, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Mm. They didn't have any places to come to Gibraltar. They had never lived in Gibraltar. Although they were the Gibraltarian with Spanish girl living in La Linea. So they had no places to go in Gibraltar.
So they had to wait to come back. What had happened to your house in Gibraltar while you were away?
Oh, we left it there. And we bought it. When we came back, we had the house.
So was it, had military people been in it?
Pardon?
Had the military been using the house? While
No. It was looked after.
That's very lucky.
It was looked after. The father of Sir Joshua Hassan was the owner of that property. The Jewish, of course. I knew him very well, and his brother Raphael. We were very good friends. And Sir Joshua was a very, very nice fellow. Very nice fellow. Good lawyer.
Just want to ask you a couple more things about Ireland, because I know that I've seen some amazing pictures of photographs of Ireland. I don't know which camp it was, but there were a lot of protests going on. Send us back to Gibraltar, and the children were holding banners in this photograph. I mean, do you remember people getting quite upset?
Well, not that well we were, because we... I think I was... As I said, the fellow who was the manager, certain Mr. Toppin, was completely against the Gibraltarians and completely, I would say, I even think about us being Catholics. But I never gave him a chance. And I remember the night before I left, they gave me sort of a bit of a party there. When he had to speak, he said, "Well, we are sorry to see our chairman go." And I said, "You liar." he must have been glad to see me go.
But that's true. It must have been a prejudice against you being Catholic too, Northern Ireland. I'm not surprised.
Well, I never cared about the religion.
I know, but they did. They really cared.
Yeah, this is the thing. Mm. I mean, I was born... Well, I've had...
And in fact, actually, how did people go to Mass? What happened?
To Mass? Mm. Well, we had a priest, Father Murphy, who was about this big taller than me. And when my son was born, excuse me, I call him Joseph after me, Patrick in Irish, after Father Murphy. He was a very, very nice man. He could drink 30 cups of tea a day.
And he was Irish, Pardon? Father Murphy. He was an Irish priest, Catholic priest.
Oh my God, with the name like Murphy?
Well, I know, sorry. Yeah, but I couldn't understand what, so he was, and he used to come to the camp to do Mass.
Yes, he was, but he was very...
Where did he do it? Did you have one hut as a church, or how did it work?
Pardon?
Did you have a place for a church?
Oh, yes. Mm. The dining room, we used it as church. No, in that respect, we never caused any trouble. Apart from that, when he was a very fat man, I said, "First we shoot and then we ask questions." And I said, "Hail Hitler!" And turned down, opened the door and left. Never saw him again. So when I had to report what had happened in the meeting, and I told them they were all behind me, you know, I said, "Shoot first and ask questions."
Sounds a horrible man. So when you went back to Ireland...
And I thought we were the good ones. And we shoot first and then ask questions. I said, "Hail Hitler!" And move out. They called me 7 times a day. I said, "F you." Mm. No way.
Horrible.
But we knew, you know, others were trying to help. The lady from that brought clothes for whoever didn't have, because it was very cold in Northern Ireland. It was always distributed to, of course, they came to me as the chairman, "Who do you think?" So that put me in a spot, because you might say that so and so got more than you. And it wasn't me. I said, "Well, whatever you have, spread it. And whoever is more needed, give it." No, it wasn't. You took it. you had no option, so you had to make the best of it.
And what did you all go back together? Where did you leave from? Did you go back to Liverpool, or do you remember what happened?
No, we went back to Gibraltar.
So from Ireland to Gibraltar from on Ireland, a boat, yes. Yeah? With your wife's family and your mother.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And what was it like coming home? I mean, it must have been lovely to get home.
Well, yes, it was nice to be to get out of there. I mean, if it had been London, I wouldn't have mind. Because in London we had everything we wanted. But due to the conditions of the war and all that, I think the meals were good. We could buy in the village many things, like bacon and eggs and all that. So we had some extra if we wanted to. But it was, you know, you took it in your stride. You had to make the best of what was going on.
And what was it like when you got back to Gibraltar? I mean, what was Gibraltar like? Was it very...
Well, I didn't know a lot of people then. Some had died, some had gone. So it was a question of getting a job and carrying on.
And were there a lot of... had the military done damage to the place?
No, the military, not now, because we got now the Royal Gibraltar Regiment. Now Her Majesty the Queen has given it it was the Gibraltar Defence Force, but now it's the Royal Gibraltar Regiment. Her Majesty has given us the Royal thing. I suppose in being grateful for how loyal we are to her.
Did you think Gibraltar had changed while you've been away?
No, Gibraltar will be the same always. Gibraltar will always be the same. Gibraltar is a happy people. They've got jobs. Nobody starves. The rules are the same as here. We have a governor. English governor. Do you know the governors here in the Prince of Gibraltar?
No.
You don't know Sir Francis Richard?
Oh, well, I know who they are, but I don't know them. Yeah.
And Sir John Chapel.
Yeah, the main, yes.
Well, I know them. And I knew another one.
I tell you what, I think we should nearly finish now, because we've talked for nearly an hour.
I know.
A long time. How are you feeling? Are you a bit tired?
No.
You're okay?
But the thing is that I don't know anything else to
I'm just going to ask you just a couple more things. We've done coming back to Gibraltar. And one of the things somebody told me when after the war, that a lot of the infrastructure had gone. You know, there were no schools or the hospitals. I mean, was that true?
There were no schools or hospitals?
Well, you had to kind of start again. Is that right or not?
No.
No. And what about...
Gibraltar has always had schools, and you had to go to school or your parents will go to taken to court. Could be that they had to...
So when you went back, did you go back to your flat with
yes,
your mother
yeah, oh
and
yes.
your wife? So you
yes.
all lived there together
yeah.
and you went back to your job too?
No. When I had to get a job there.
Yeah, so you got a new job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when did you decide to come? What about your wife? What did she do? She didn't have a job.
No. She did. She could.
Oh, because you had a baby by now, of course. Your son was born.
Well, in those days, practically, women didn't work in Gibraltar.
No.
Is it too hot?
No, it's fine. Hot. And what made you decide to come to England?
Because I thought there was more future for my children here than in Gibraltar. So my wife had some relatives here, two aunts and all that. And we came over. And then I got a job, naturally I had to get a job straight away. But then I got him a friend of mine, and I got involved in the boxing.
Right, yes. So you did that very early.
Have you seen what you've got there?
I'm going to have a look at that in a minute. So I just want to ask you one more question about Gibraltar. Last question, promise. When you think of Gibraltar now in England, because you've been in England for 50 years, something like that. When did you come? 56?
What?
The second time.
What do you mean by...
Sorry, I was going to say that when you're here now in your house and you think about Gibraltar, what is the sort of picture that comes in your mind? What is the thing about Gibraltar that's...
Well, I see the Gibraltar that I knew. And the Gibraltar I knew... I'm not going to say that everybody's wealthy there, but everybody has jobs. And there's no hunger anywhere. And that's why they have to employ so many Spaniards, thousands of them. And I think it has improved a lot. The economy for what I hear is very, very big. The Spaniards are putting everything they can to against it, but then they won't win. The chief minister has offered to build on the other side of Spain to help them, and they still know the one Gibraltar.
And when you think of yourself as Pepe Forbes, what do you feel? Do you feel British, Gibraltarian? What's your...
British. I've always felt British. British Gibraltarian. And when I talk about Gibraltar, I say British Gibraltar. I've always done it.
And when do you go back to Gibraltar?
I haven't been now for 3 years. I can't go. You see, now...
It's more difficult.
By forcing, I can't see your face. See your bulk.
Yes.
And now with my legs...
Yeah,
I'd be a burden to anybody.
But when you did go back, Pepe, did you love going back?
Oh, yes. And the nearly first thing I did was go to the Royal Gibraltar Association Club there.